Okay, good to go.
Okay. All right, so it's looking like you will probably be seeing steeper prices in the months to come. Steve Horowitz is a professor at the Miller School of Business at Ball State. And Professor Horowitz, people may determine, or people may interpret this, rather, as price gouging, but it's not actually price gouging, according to your studies.
So yeah, I think, first of all, that term price gouging is problematic. There's no economic content to it. It's a term people use to complain about prices they think are too high. But I do think we'll continue to see some places, and in mostly small businesses, honestly, where prices are running high as they have difficulty getting new supply in. And that's important, right? Those high prices tell us something. We don't want to stifle them. We don't want to try to control them. We want them to let us, to tell us that those goods are in short supply, and that we need to be careful how we use them, and that we need to get additional supplies in. And so, but one of the things we, you know, when we pass these laws against so-called price gouging, we prevent prices from providing the incentive and the information that they have to help people understand that these goods are in short supply and that we need to act to bring more of them. What those price controls, those anti-gouging laws do is perpetuate the very shortages we're trying to solve.
You know, so essentially, if you hear the term price gouging, we're actually just talking about a supply and demand equation there.
Yeah, right. And we're talking about a price that is abnormally high, right? And that people think is too high. And so gouging has this sort of strong moral content to it, right? That you're harming someone. But so just, I mean, as an example, think about bottled water, right? When the price of bottled water goes way up, people get upset. But the advantage of this, there's two advantages. First of all, it forces us to make very careful decisions about how we use the limited supply of water. If the price is high, you're not going to buy up water and wash your dog with bottled water. You're going to buy it for the needs you think are most important. And when everybody's doing that, the water is being allocated in the most valuable ways. Second, the high price signals to people from other places, or perhaps who have water in there, have been storing, you know, bottled water in their basement, that they can make a pretty good profit by bringing that out and selling it. And the only way they're going to do that is by undercutting the existing price. And so what we see is, over time, new supplies come in, prices begin to fall. We've got more water, and we've got water that's cheaper. But to make that happen, you got to let prices rise. They have to serve as a kind of, you know, signal flare, right, that tells people, hey, look, here's a problem that we need to solve.
Well, we see this with gas prices all the time in the Midwest, this price cycling.
Right, we do. And one of the interesting things about this particular crisis is that we've seen gas prices fall rather than rise. So no one's been complaining about anybody price gouging in gas, and which is very interesting, by the way, right? I mean, you think, right, well, now prices are super low. Aren't we as consumers gouging the sellers by getting these super low prices? But nobody ever thinks about it.
Yeah, some people may think gas is just criminally low at 99 cents.
Right.
We want to talk about, too, the difference in effect that it has on small businesses and large businesses like Costco and Kroger.
Yeah. So Costco, Kroger, you know, the big Home Depot, places like that, they don't tend to raise their prices too much during these kinds of crises. Why? Because they don't need to. They can always obtain additional supplies through their very deep supply networks, right? This is what they do. Walmart is another great example, right? So the larger stores don't necessarily need to raise price, sort of bring in those new supplies. They know that they'll get them eventually. It's the smaller businesses where their supply networks are thinner, where it's sometimes harder for them. A friend of mine was telling me about going to the local butcher and paying twice the usual price for hamburger. Okay, right, not a surprise that the local butcher is probably having difficulty getting you know, a raw burger from various suppliers. But raising the price says, hey, look, I'm having trouble. If you're buying burger, you better make sure you really want it, right? And it also signals that, hey, there's profit to be made if you can find ways to supply me with additional burger. And I'm willing to bet that price at that butcher comes down within a few days.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the time. And I think this is, it is going to be a very interesting discussion as this goes on.
Thank you very much for having me.